Can you hear me? Okay, great. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Among the many skills for which I admire Jesus is his ability to craft a parable. His parables are clever and surprising ways of getting his messages across. His parables turn things inside out, upside down, because the reign of God is all about the alternative, the counter, the not the world as we know it. But I'll be honest with you, the parable that is today's gospel lesson is not among my favorites. In this parable, it seems so obvious what we're supposed to take away. And the message of a parable should never be easily apparent. Part of the point of a parable is to get us to pause, if not stop in our tracks, to reconsider and maybe reorient. It would be so effortless to make the Pharisee the bad guy and the tax collector the good guy. But if it's that simple, then it's not a parable. And the moment we separate people into the good and the bad, we have gone precisely where Jesus most assuredly does not want us to go. The moment we go there, that is, dividing people into who's in and who's out, we have erected a barrier between ourselves and God. So to get to the meaning of this parable, we're going to have to dig a little deeper and work a little harder. What is Jesus trying to tell us? Well, let's begin with why the Pharisee is not the bad guy. He's a bit self-assured, but that doesn't make him bad. He is a faithful follower of the law. He is a leader in his religious community. He is a model of piety. It's not that the Pharisee is speaking falsely. It's that he's missing the true nature of his righteousness. He roots his righteousness in his own acts and being, rather than recognizing that the source through which his righteousness flows is God. And the tax collector beating his breast? Well, to me, that seems rather showy, certainly more theatrical than the Pharisee. Is the tax collector sincere, or is he desperate? How can we know he's being genuine? We cannot. God alone can know the human heart. It is no accident that the setting for this parable is the temple. In Jesus' time at the temple, there were very clear demarcations of who was in and who was out. The rules of ancient Judaism were unambiguous. But when Jesus dies on the cross, all that changes. The gospel tells us that the curtain in the temple, the one that separated everyone but the high priests from the presence of God, is rent at the death of Jesus. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks split. Matthew 27:51. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Mark 15:38. The sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn down the middle. Luke 23:4. And a few verses after Matthew tells us of the curtain being rent, we read, "When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and said, 'Truly, this was the Son of God.'" So it seems to me, much of what Jesus is telling us is that it's not so much the content of the prayer that matters, as it is the content of the heart. When we pray, I believe we should do so with both confidence and humility. Confident that we are being heard, and humble enough to recognize that God knows far better than you or I do what is best for us. Prayer, then, is cooperating with God to bring about God's reign, not trying to bend God toward our wants and will. When we pray together each Sunday, we celebrate one another, we encourage one another, We name and hold up those for whom we believe prayer is desired or for whom prayer would be welcomed. And when we pray corporately, I believe we are united in a common purpose. We become one voice, bending our hearts toward God, turning toward the one who promises presence. And I also believe that all prayer is corporate prayer. You might be the only person in the room, or in the garden, or by the beach when you're praying, but among those praying with you are all the saints who have gone before, the thousands of monks around the globe faithfully saying daily office, and perhaps the parishioners of St. Edmund's. The project of writing prayers for this community, and I thank Father Bill for giving me this opportunity, prayers we pray together each Sunday, this project has been extremely gratifying. When I write the prayers, I'm thinking of you, corporately and individually. And we've come full circle. I began writing prayers for this worshiping body last Advent, and we are now using the final set for ordinary time. So St. Edmund's now has a full year of prayers written with you in mind, composed and crafted just for you. And it has been a pleasure and a privilege. I encourage you and me when we pray together as a community of faith, as one voice, to lean into the words and make them ours, praying faithfully, sincerely, every word, with confidence that we are being heard and taken seriously, and with humility that recognizes and respects that God is God. So returning to today's gospel lesson, what at first seems to be a parable about difference and division is perhaps a parable about oneness and unity. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.